started last week with the introduction of of understanding how the Vilna Gaon had said that the Kuzari is the Iker. What was the language he said? Hu kadosh v'tahor ikarei emunat Yisrael v'torah tzluim ba. Says the ikarei emunat Yisrael. We had said that historically, within the 12th century, Rav Yehuda Halevi was dealing with a lot of different struggles with Yidden, meaning there was he had to deal with the Christians, he had to deal with the Muslims, he also had to deal with a very strong Greek philosophy culture. So, and he talks about it's a machloket between academics whether the Khuzars, which is the Soviet Union, east of Hungary, north of Turkey, right? This happened 400 years before that, where this Melech Khuzar came and said, okay, which is it? Is it Christianity? Is it being a Muslim, or is it Judaism? And Rav Yehuda Halevi, as we're going to see, adds the whole philosopher, the Greek philosopher, because that was the discussion of the time. And we had talked about last week that the Kuzari is it's one half of the same coin of the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam's Mor Nevuchim talks much more about the Torah part, and the Kuzari talks about the Ikar Emunat Yisrael, understanding what Am Yisrael is. So we had talked about last week, and we talked about how we connected it to the Chassam Sofer, Am Chaseh Ani Me Avraham Asher Ani Yosef. But today we actually start the actual Sefer Kuzari. I highly encourage you to get it. Hopefully we'll make some very nice ha'arot throughout the year, so you'll have learned what the Vilna Gaon says is the Ikar Emunat Yisrael V'Torah Tzluim. So the Peticha says as follows. Amar Yehuda ben Shaul Zal. Amar Mechaber. Shaul Shaulu Oti Amash Yesh Iti Min HaTa'anot V'Tshuvot Al Chokim Aleinu Min HaFilosofim V'Anshei HaTorot V'Al Aminim Al Chokim Al Hamon Yisrael V'Zacharti Ma Sheshmativ Kvar Mita'anot HaChaber Ashaya Itza Melech Khuzar HaNechnas V'Dat HaYudim Hayom Ka'ar B'Meot Shana Kasher Nizkar V'Noda B'Sifrei Divrei HaYamim. That's what we said last week. Sefer Khuzarim, which came a couple hundred years before of Yehuda Halevi, now in the 12th century, dealing with this. Now, he starts off the Sefer as follows. Ki nishne alav chalom pa'amim rabot ki ilu malach medaber imo v'omer lo kavanatcha ritzuya etza aborei aval ma'asecha ino ratzui. Okay, it's very, very fascinating. We're going to talk about this. But this is that the Melech Khuzar, and how Rav Yehuda Halevi is explaining it, is that this came to him through a dream. We're going to have to talk about what this whole dream and nevuah is. That we're going to start next time. We're going to talk about a lot of other things today. But he says within the dream, it's as if a malach spoke to him. And we're going to even see that when we talk about an angel, as most philosophers are not going to talk about angels nowadays. But philosophy at that time actually talked about angels and talked about celestial beings. And we're going to talk about that the philosopher wasn't an atheist. And that's why part of the issue was that the philosophers of that time, very, very confusing, very similar to the Judaism. That's where it caused confusion. And that's why Rav Yehuda Halevi wrote this book. So, ki nishne alav chalom pa'amim rabot, kilu malach medaber imo, v'amalo kavanatcha ritzuya, itzal borei. You have good intentions. Ava ma'asecha eno ratzuy. But God doesn't want, it doesn't like your intent, doesn't like your actions. V'haya mishtadel ma'od b'torat ha'kuzar, within what he was, the Melech Khuzar, trying to figure it out. It almost, in a biblical sense, sounds very much like Paro and the dreams, and he couldn't figure it out. You know what I mean? And he finally went to Yosef, right? But according to Chazal, he had his Chartumim trying to figure it out, right? It sounds like that, no? Look what he says. He was a from heretic. His mom is doing karbonos. Belev shalem. Whatever he was trying to do, all the different karbanos, right? He was having steaks, you name it, everything, right? Mamish, real pure intentions with whatever karbanos he was trying to do. But every single night, it's the worst type of nightmare you can have, which is what happened. what happened? He would come balayla v'omer lo kavanatcha ritzuya umasecha inenu ratzui. You have great kavanos, but your ma'isim are not pleasing to God. God doesn't want that. V'goro lo zelach kol amunut v'adatot. It caused him then to search. Then now we start going to the Yitro piece, right? And we travel in the Tanakh sphere here, right? We start off, well, we didn't start off, but with the concept of Paro and Yosef, and then we now all of a sudden are being that Yitro piece of going in and searching through all the different religions. And we're going to see a different Shita here, where it's not, at least definitely at the beginning, he doesn't say, okay, this is what's terribly wrong about Christianity, what's terribly wrong about Islam. Okay, he doesn't do that at the beginning. He has a different Shita, as we will see. He really just, on a certain level, pushes it off until the later Ma'amarim. But now he says that what happened, the Kuzari then was Mityahe Basof, who Va'amrab Mi Kuzarim, they all converted. He liked what the Jew said. So this part is that apocrypha, he asked the philosopher about the emuna. So before we get to the philosopher, what's fascinating about this, as we had pointed out, Rav Shirky points out that what's amazing about this is who ayah mishtadil ma'od b'torat ha-kuzar, that he was mishamesh b'avodat ha-echal v'korbanot b'atzmo b'leibav shalim, which means that he, Davka the Kuzari, chooses to portray him not as a pure heretic, but Davka the other way, the idea of being able to be what we call frum, or I forget about frum, on a certain level a pashtan, being pashut, being able to be a pashtanid, see Torah, right? Lahavdil. He was saying avodat elilim. There was this concept of Melech Kuzar. He wasn't the person that we would think when we talk about the classic convert that knew, that knows nothing about nothing about nothing about zero. No, what is it? He's a person who's very religious. This Kuzar, Melech Kuzar, is very religious. Avodat Elilim. And the truth is, it comes very much on a certain level to what Rav Shirky explains to the concept of our developmental stages. When we're kids, everything's very simple, black and white. And it's only until we get around this age of 18, 19, 15, 18, it depends on how, you know, philosophic and abstract our minds are, but these are the ages we start thinking about philosophy. And this is the point now where it's a fascinating idea, where he starts off the Sefer with this concept of Melech Kuzar being what? Being actually very into the religious side, if you will. And it leads us into the concept where within our world of when we're understanding philosophy, we have Vadai and Safek. We're doing this in the Gemara. Ain Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. And it comes back to the point where the whole concept of philosophy is what? Am I really seeing Yoni Schreiber now? Maybe this is not a desk. Maybe it, only in your perspective is this a desk. And all these abstract questions. Am I really? You cast everything into doubt. Right? At the beginning you have Tzvadai. What are you talking about? Yesh Elokim Ba'olam. Right? This is it. And all of a sudden, through philosophy, you start questioning things. And part of religion and is Dafka, this idea of, yes, coming and questioning is healthy, but it's part of the stages. That's not the end stage where people get lost. Some people do get lost, but it's rather having that Vadai stage, just like the Melech Kuzar had. He was Vadai, but then he got what? He got punched in the face. He was having these dreams. And to the point where it didn't matter what he did, Kavanatcha Ritzuya, Aval Masecha Inan Ratzui. But then the eventual idea in the last part of the Tachana is very much to get to is very much to get to that point, to get to the point of Vadai. Now, as you'll see, there's something that the philosopher, again, as the philosopher is not here, is not an atheist. As we're going to get to the philosopher soon, but the philosopher doesn't say there's no God in the world. He says there is a God in the world. One of the things he's going to talk about is when it says Kavanatcha Ritzuya V'Masecha Inenu Ratzui. Already the philosopher is going to jump on this and say that God doesn't have wants and needs. Because by definition, if God has wants and needs, then He's not God. Don't tell me that this is the Ratzon of Hashem. Okay? And that's going to be the next part that we're going to... Well, we'll start reading now. I want to do a little bit more of the Chalom and Nevuah piece that we're going to start off next time. But just to read what the philosopher says. And what the philosopher says, very much, all of a sudden, you understand why Rabbi Yehuda Levi wrote the Sefer. Because look what he says. V'amar lo ha-felosof, in itzel ha-borei lo ratzon v'lo sina. Right? On a certain level, if you didn't know that, I would give you the introduction. This is the philosopher. We would say this is a modern Jew now in the 21st century. Saying this. In itzel ha-borei lo ratzon v'lo sina. God transcends all this. God doesn't have any wants. God doesn't have any desires. Because the concept of saying that God, kavanatcha ritzuya, avam masecha, that God likes your kavanot, that God, that's what God intends, God wants, is, what is it delineating? What is it saying? What's the implication? Mimashma, right? The implication is what? Is that God has needs. And if God has needs, what's the next philosophical statement? Therefore, God is not perfect. But he said, "Ki hakavana mora al chisron ha-mechavein, v'chi ha-shlamat kavanat shleimut lo, uva'ot shelo tishlam hu chaser." If I have the right intentions, it means God is chaser. And if God is chaser, then he's not shalem. And by me filling those needs, that makes God shalem. So by definition, that's a problem. So there are two points here that the philosopher is dealing with. Can't be kavanat, it sounds very nice, but that's not God. You're making God more imminent. You're making God more minuscule. You're not understanding the magnitude of the Yirat HaRoma'imut of God, says the philosopher. Now, on one level, this is something that's very attractive to us. You know, the concept of us being a mispalel, by definition of us being a mispalel, is the concept of the Maral's thought. How I explain the Rambam's, one of the Rambam's thought, Maimonides' thought in Tefillah, is this concept of us being an Eved of Hashem, us being chaser, and being dependent on the Shalem. This is something that's very attractive to us that we need to answer. Truth is, a lot of the things the philosopher is going to say, some of it is going to be very much attractive and correct to us. Now we're going to have to figure out, because we say things in Tefillah that seem to, that I don't know if many of you have even thought about it, but you start thinking about this. We say things in tefillah like Tnu Oz Lelokim, let's give strength to God. Or all in on Friday night tefillah we say Havu Hashem, right? We have all the. I started singing the Sephardi because I'm in a Sephardi piece also. But you know, if you wanted to go the Karbach way, Havu, right? You have all these Havu Hashem. What are you giving to God? God doesn't need anything. So we have a certain way of answering this. How do we answer this philosopher's question? It's not that God really needs it, right? God is perfect. But what? What do we answer? How do we answer that?
We need to give.
We, God, created within the world this idea that we're a shutuf with God, and therefore by us doing it, God creating us as a partner with God, God ki'ilu needs us. God as a pristine being, we don't know, he's perfect. You can't touch that, you know. And all the concept of God being angry and God being, right, those are all just anthropomorphism for us to understand how to somehow relate to God. There's a concept called negative attributes. We don't know what God is. We don't know what God is, and that's what the Rambam Mor Nevuchim. We don't know what God is, but God reveals himself through certain actions like Bikur Cholim, what he did through in the Torah, we had last week's parsha. So on a certain level, we basically make Tzvei Dinim. That's what we do. We do a Brisker Chakira to understand this philosopher. Right? We say on one level, of course God is perfect, doesn't need us. On another level, God built into this reality as a chesed for us to ki'ilu say that he needs us. Okay, that's That's already, I'm jumping ahead, but that's part of what's going on with the philosopher. And as we will see again, we will talk more about this concept of where we're at. I want to talk, well, Mirtz Hashem, continue talk about Chalom and the Nevuah, talk a little more about the philosopher who believes that God of course created the world, he believes, but what? He also believes that God doesn't care about the world. God's too great to care about the world. God, you know, that's the concept of having Hashkacha Klalit, possibly. He created the world. This is where evolution comes in. This is where divine providence comes in. Does God really care if I'm wearing a bigger kippah, not bigger kippah? Does God really care if I'm wearing these strings or not? God just wants the ikra things. So please God, that's where we will pick up as we move ahead here in Maimon Rishon in the Kuzari. Okay, so, let's...